conceive, but to, you know, the faith is to our patience. We are going to start in there for the benefit of yourselves and some of us that may be seeing you for the first time. We are going to start with the house. I hope the IT is fine. Oh, okay. When you are here, is one of the entities that are important in the sector, entities that ensure that the National Department of Health is able to discharge its responsibility, and the National Department of Health does not mean the office of the minister and the staff. It means the entire up to a clinic, because tests are ordered in a clinic, are ordered in a hospital, and for the patient to be delayed and to be told to come a week again, same for blood counts, tested. You are in that space, and ours is to really listen and see if there are changes, if you are, there are improvements that are taking place. I initially said in the morning, our people are not interested in the high-powered English that we speak here. I'm not interested in that. What I'm interested is, if he goes or she goes to a clinic, she is tested on Monday, she is told to come back either the latest on Wednesday, and the results are there. If there's one thing that irritates them is that she comes and the tests are being performed, she's told to come again because the results are lost. That's what makes our people to be agitated in terms of this system is not affecting us. So you are one of the entities that are to ensure that the health sector is able to deliver as per the constitution and the health condition of our people, of the community, is able to be changed. Initially, as much as you are in that space, that's what to leave you with this. I said, we can be talking about we want a country whose economy must grow, but if people are sick and they're not treated, the economy will never grow. Or expect an economy to grow when its inventory is full. And therefore, you are one of the entities that are to ensure that the social conditions of our people is changed. So we are here to be listening to you. We are going to ask questions. We are expecting you to respond to those questions. Some of them may not be palatable, but we're not here to compete or to fight, but we're here to ensure that that person in Khayelitsha, that person in Tanzania, that person in KwaZulu, that person in Ijojwa is able to go into a clinic and be able to be diagnosed properly and get a treatment on time, his or her treatment on time, and then be able to go home. So we will do the normal things that having said that, I'm welcoming you, and I did apologize for our apology. When we have a irregular expense, don't come back to me, say, no, check. We had to change our flights, and we were charged for changing our flights because we started very late. It's just a lighter note to I'm Linda Randolph, I'm the chair of the portfolio committee on health. Next to me is the Ms. Masalamba, who is our secretary. At the extreme is Mr. Nambi, who is our part of the research team. Mr. Ngomane, who is our content advisor. Ms. Landu, who is our communication official. The rest, others are still outside. I will then allow members to introduce themselves. After that, it will be your team, it will be the department, then it will be your team. How you do it depends on you. Over to you, honorable members.
Thank you, madam. Ke ntate makamaisela wa gamaisela ke leloko la komiti ya tsa bophelo ke a leboga.
Good afternoon, dumelang. My name is Patricia Kopane. I'm a member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Nontaka Mumendala. I'm a member of this portfolio committee.
Good day. My name is Rachel Adams, member of the committee.
My name is Eric Cook. I'm the chairperson of the board of the NHLS. And I thought maybe I'll just let our team just introduce themselves personally.
Good afternoon. It's Kenny Tripley, acting CEO of the NHLS.
Good afternoon, chairperson of the board and members. My name is Michael Sass, I'm acting CFO at the NHLS.
Good afternoon, my name is Ian Flanella, I'm chair of the finance committee at the NHLS. I'm also CFO of the National Health.
Good afternoon, my name is Nelly, I'm a board member.
Good afternoon, my name is Nishon Pilat, the company secretary.
Good afternoon, my name is Violet Kabasha, I'm a senior manager for monitoring and evaluation. Thank you.
It's either your mic is not working or you are very soft.
Nasima Mohammed, area manager in HLS.
Good afternoon, Tabo Fasiate, Senior Manager, Communications and HLS.
Good afternoon, my name is Mrs.
Michuana
from the
Department of
Health.
Good afternoon, I'm Gail Andrews, National Department of Health.
Good afternoon, I'm Tamar Khan from Business Day.
Mina Shiva, PhD.
Good afternoon, some of the work on the office of the Auditor General.
Sorry, Chair. The gentleman said he's from administration, so I need to make a clear his administration manager. No, thank you very much, Chair. We are then handing over to you, Chair, who steps down and make a presentation. Depends on you. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will start as the Chair of the Board and then the Acting CEO will do the rest of the presentation and then I'll conclude. Madam Chair, you'll see that we've prepared a long presentation. So if you have all the information, but we are not going to talk in detail to every slide to keep the length of the presentation manageable. I think we know what the purpose is, the structure of the presentation is there, and I think that we have presented on more than one occasion to the portfolio committee and many of the members are the same. So we won't go over the nature of the board and the vision, the mission, the values, and our legislative mandate. And I'd like to just start with the strategic overview on page 9 of your handout. And I'm going to start here, just so that we answer this question again. Our CEO and CFO remain suspended. We have reported to you that they were suspended on the grounds of exceeding their delegated authority and on the basis of our allegation of irregularities in the contracts that were signed. So that is still in progress, but I can inform you that the head of internal audit has been dismissed, and he was dismissed on the grounds of dereliction of duty and distortion of information to the board. And the supply chain manager resigned in the face of the charges against him. So I just wanted to put that on the table and to say that within the NHLS we have established a strong mechanism to ensure that we are able to continue to perform well in the face of these situations. The CEO will explain that some of, you'll recall that the CEO and CFO we identified the irregularities and suspended them, and they were charged, but some of the challenges that we faced is that we discovered further problems arising from their tenure, CEO and CFO, that we've been, over the year, have been correcting. But some of them spilled over into the earlier part of the year and therefore get picked up as we fix them. And we'll come back to that. So I think what you'll see in the detailed report of the acting CEO is that we have improved across all the functions and processes that enable the NHLS to carry out our mandate more effectively and efficiently. And you will also notice, Madam Chair, that in terms of our presentations to you before, both now and when we've done our strategic and annual performance plan, you and your committee have raised a number of issues with us. And I hope you'll see how many of them have been attended to because we've kept tabs on the issues that you've raised along the way. And we'll see how we've addressed a number of those. I think you spoke, Madam Chair, about the critical importance of delivering in accordance with the Constitution to our people. And I think maybe the most significant message that we bring to you today is the one at the top of this slide, and that is that the NHLS continues to offer high-quality, affordable services with proven value for money across the country in the deepest and most rural areas. And you'll also see in our report that our turnaround times, how long it takes for tests to be done and returned back to enable quality care for our people has been a very strong factor in our performance. And I think that, so to answer you, that on our most basic of core mandates, we continue to deliver value for money, efficiency, affordability, and high quality. And you'll see as well in the report, we come to you with a much improved financial report. You'll see that there's been an almost, in terms of what's on our books, a 3 billion rand turnaround to the good in the NHLS. And we think that that is a very, very significant message. And amongst those, we've tightened financial oversight in a number of areas. You'll recall we spoke about that previously. We've had much enhanced payments by the provinces, and you'll see that provinces are paying a much better rate than ever before. They're paying quicker and they're paying more fully. And within that and across the board, we've had very strong support from the Minister and from the Director General that have assisted us in this regard and in many others. You'll be pleased to know, Madam Chair, that we have a settlement agreement with Gauteng on the outstanding debt. So that is now settled, we've completed that in accordance with the recommendations of the Accountant General. Although we have not resolved the KwaZulu-Natal debt, what is important is that in spite of all the challenges that they have faced, they are now paying the NHLS in full and in fact more than we are billing them. So you'll recall that previously they were paying, KwaZulu-Natal were paying approximately half of what we billed. They have now become almost our best payer in terms of paying in full what they are billed and a bit more towards the historic situation. So that has been very critical, both of those agreements, to as part of our turnaround. We're also able to report improved relations with organized labor and harmonization of labor relations. You'll see that there was no strike in the NHLS this year. There was no threats, and we did settle with the NHLS on the same annual percentage increases as there was for the public service, the 7%. And we think, again, that is an important development in terms of stabilizing the organization and ensuring good performance. We've focused on SANAS accreditation of our key laboratories, and you'll see we've improved on that. But what I want to emphasize here is that that you can still provide quality care even if you're not SANAS accredited. It's not like you can't practice as a doctor if you're not registered as the HPCSA. You can run a laboratory that is not SANAS accredited. But what we are focused on is that our highly specialized laboratories, we focused on SANAS accreditation there because that's where it's most critical, and we have an internal quality control program that's running at the same time. If I turn to the next slide, I'm not going to go into the details, Madam Chair, but there are a range of improved internal operational efficiencies in finance, in procurement, in human resources, in information systems, and a range of other areas that have unfolded in the NHLS over the past over the year under consideration. The NICD, the National Institute for Communicable Diseases, continues to play an exceptional role in health surveillance, and I think everyone would be familiar about the role that was played during the Listeria outbreak by the NICD, and indeed with the full support of the NHLS and its governance structures. And the National Institute for Occupational Health continue to play their unique niche role in occupational health and safety, as we've described in our annual report. And our strategic relationships with our partners, including our suppliers, have all been positive over the year. I think you've seen that we've seen complaints in the media from our suppliers about payments. You can see that our payment situation is also much improved. So I think that's a broad overview on my part, and I'll hand over now to the acting CEO to provide you with more detail to the bigger picture that I've tried to offer on behalf of the board.
Well, thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Professor Book has given some a broad overview, and I'm not going to try to repeat what he has said, but just to give you some details on the initiatives. Prof. Book has indicated that there is greater financial stability in the NHLS, and gives faith that the NHLS was in a better financial situation for 2017-2018 than the previous financial year. And just to provide some of that evidence, we've already spoken about the extensive negotiations with most of the provinces, and we must commend both the chairperson of the board and the board, as well as the DG and the minister, who have been playing a great role in trying to get the provinces to pay. So most of the provinces during the financial year have substantially reduced their historic debt. And when I'm talking about historic debt, this was debt prior to the March 2017. And we have three provinces, in fact, who have cleared up the historic debt. That's in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and Western Cape. And provinces during the financial year were also adequately paying for their current consumption. We now have a situation where some provinces are almost up to date. It's within 30 days that they have. We've spoken about the settlement agreement that was reached with the Gauteng Department of Health. And as part of the settlement agreement, the Gauteng Department of Health is committed to paying the full settlement agreement over a period of 3 years. And it's also, as part of that agreement, they would need to pay for their current consumption in full. So this has greatly benefited the NHLS. With regard to revenue and other income, our revenue grew from 7.3 billion to 8.2 billion, with provinces accounting for about 78% of the revenue generated. Chair, just to explain that the revenue is anything that we've invoiced. So this is the cash that's coming in, but it's what we've built. We had a surplus in the 2017-2018 financial year, which amounted to 1.3 billion. And I'll need to explain this. This is compared to a restated deficit of 1.9 billion in the previous financial year. So as Professor Booker said, this was quite a turnaround. But this was due to the reversal of the provision for the doubtful debt for Gauteng. In the previous financial year, we had to make provision for the doubtful debt. When we reached the settlement agreement with Gauteng, we had to reverse that. And so that's a part of the reason for the surplus, but the other reason is also for the increase we got in test revenue. So a major change. I need to point out, however, Chair, that because there's a surplus doesn't mean that the NHLS was cash flush, because there's a huge need with regard to the creditors, our maintenance and infrastructure. With regard to cash flow, and again we're differentiating between revenue and cash flow, so cash is the actual amount of money that we got in, and this amounted to 8 billion. Compared to 6.7 billion in the previous financial year. Our creditors' days were also reduced from 75 days to 51 days. And we're also proud to say that we make sure that our SMEs are paid within 30 days. We do have a creditors' plan with the other creditors, where we try to keep up as much as possible with regard to paying our creditors. And we find that there's a continuous improvement in the collection of debt from the provinces. It's not reflected in a dramatic decrease in the deficit state, but there's very definitely a continuous improvement. The chairperson of the board has also indicated that, coupled together with the improvement in the financial sustainability, we are concentrating on looking at the operational efficiencies within the NHLS. One of our key challenges in the past has been the issue of procurement. What we've done is we've installed an electronic contract management system, which is going to dramatically improve the procurement. With information technology, which is also the core of the NHLS, because we need to have a good IT system. Just to indicate to the committee, you'll be pleased to note that we very successfully have implemented electronic gatekeeping in all of the provinces. I think we've explained to the committee before, electronic gatekeeping is a set of rules that we put onto our lab information system, which then stops things like repeat testing when you get an intern comes and takes a full blood counted and somebody else comes the after and repeats it. So these rules within the system will stop that from happening. We've also got a local area network upgrade project which is also going to improve our land in a four of the sites. One of our big issues has been what we call the bandwidth of our internet, and we've facilitated participation in the South African National Research Network so that we can then get very high speed connection links for our facilities. We've also upgraded our trackhead system from 2012 to 2016, which is going to make a fundamental difference. So what we're going to ensure is that we've got a land information system that supports the huge amount of work that we've got within the organization. We've also renegotiated a number of contracts that did not add value to the organization, and we renegotiated those contracts to improve efficiency and value for money. Chair, with regard to service delivery, approximately 92 million tests were performed overall within the NHLS, and most of the tests achieved the turnaround time and targets. I'm not going to go through all of the details there, Chair. One of our high volume tests was creatinine. And then we've also got the full blood count, which I'm sure most members are familiar with. You can see that with most of these tests, we've got turnaround time as per our key performance indicators. We've given you, these are not the top 10 tests, Chair, but we thought that it's important that we do highlight HIV and TB tests because these are part of our national priority program. So we're just giving you an indication. I'm not going to go into details around that, Chair. With regards to our academic program, training and research, the number of pathologists that we have in training grew from 8.6%, that's from 220 to 239. We've also increased our the intern scientists quite dramatically because this was an area of weakness previously. And again, I'm not going to go through all of the details of the number of articles we've published, but we're quite proud of our academic achievements. Our scientists and pathologists have been getting accolades from the Medical Research Council and internationally. They've been winning quite a few prizes for the work and what is leading work internationally in some of the areas. We've got a very high focus on making sure that our laboratories are accredited by SANAS. So just to say that our laboratories get accredited by SANAS and not through the Office of Health Service Compliance, because that's an international requirement. And we had 12 additional laboratories. So as the Chair has indicated, we're definitely accelerating the accreditation in preparation for the NHI. Chair, I'm not going to go through the other details. You've got the details in the presentation. The Chair has already spoken about listeriosis, and it needs to be acknowledged that it was the largest investigation of the largest ever recorded outbreak of listeriosis. And you know that the NICD had managed that the testing for listeriosis and finding the source very well. The other details is the NICD through the Center of TB has also been conducting surveillance with regard to resistance to the new drugs. And there's been internationally, again, there's been quite a lot of publications with regards to this. And also the Center for Emerging Zoonotic and Parasitic Diseases also plays a central role in some of the scientific journals internationally. Another achievement which we think is really quite an important achievement is with regards to notifiable medical conditions, and there's an app that has been developed with regards to this, which is going to make it a lot easier with regards to reporting the notifiable diseases. Again, the occupational health and safety, the National Institute for Occupational Health and Safety plays a niche role internationally with regard to occupational health and safety. And this is an area that will be growing during the year, especially with regard to safety in workplaces. The NHLS and the National Institute of Occupational Health are being called upon to look at doing assessments with regards to this. Chair, just maybe to throw in that the NHLS is also seen as an employer of choice in the field, and we are quite pleased to note that we've chosen as the most attractive laboratory services employer by young professionals. Independent survey that had been done, and we were chosen as the employer of choice. Chair, I'm not going to go through all of the details of our performance. We've kept it in the presentation. It's very detailed. But we thought perhaps what we'll do is to just indicate to you, to provide a summary just of the program, of what was achieved and what was not achieved. When we recorded, Chair, we recorded as achieved or not achieved. But we've also indicated where some of the targets were almost achieved. So it's quite close, but it wasn't the actual number. So for example, in program one, which is administration and finance, we've achieved the targets, as I've indicated to you already, on cash flow, on turnover, on materials to revenue, on the services days, and on the debtors days. With regards to our current ratio, which is our current assets to liability, we almost achieved it. The benchmark was normally around 2, that's 2 to 1, and we got 1.9. With regards to the governance issue, I will be talking around this. We wanted to get an unqualified audit opinion, but we've got a qualified audit opinion, and I'll just give you a detail on that. We didn't achieve that target. With regards to IT, we achieved the dashboard that needed to be set up, our system uptime, our projects against IT frameworks, but we didn't achieve the IT strategy that's about 75% complete. Linked to that is the IT roadmap, so we could not continue the IT roadmap without the strategy. And then some of the modernization projects were not achieved. Chair, just to say that we did have human resource challenges. The executive, the chief information officer, resigned during the day. She was during the year. She was responsible for driving up a number of projects which hadn't been done. And within a short space of time, we've been trying to catch up with regards to that. With regards to human resources, we've achieved the employment equity target, medical technologist pathway. And unfortunately, we did not do well with regards to these targets, most of which is related to the previous CEO, the suspended CEO and CFO. It was linked to them. They were responsible for the project, and with their suspension, it became very difficult to change it. And this relates to the leadership proficiency, the talent coverage ratio, and the index. With regard to HR, the climate survey was also not achieved, and the customer satisfaction survey. With regard to performance agreements, Chair, the system had not been implemented effectively, but just to say that currently, that's been turned around completely, in that now we've got a 97% compliance with the signing of performance agreements. Actually, under program two, then very quickly, we've achieved most of the targets with regard to sanitation, sanitation, outbreaks responded to qualified field epidemiologists, but we haven't achieved the number of epidemiologists appointed in the provinces. And that's something that we are working on, Chair. Occupational health and safety, again, we've achieved most of the targets. We haven't achieved the compliance audit target of the percentage of workplaces that comply with the occupational health and safety assessment. That target hasn't been achieved. Chair, with the upward program, we've achieved most of the targets except for the target of pathologists on site and provincial tertiary labs. But again, we're also putting in corrective measures in order to improve on that. And then with program five around the laboratory services, as you can see, we've achieved quite a range of targets, but where we are lacking with regards to turnaround time, the TB microscopy turnaround time, and the gene expert turnaround time. But if you look at the actual sheet, you'll see that we almost achieved it. It's just a few percentages up. With the SANIS accreditation, the central lab has almost achieved as well. I think it's just one or two labs that haven't been accredited. And then with regards to the SANIS accreditation of regional labs, that target hasn't been achieved. But we almost reached the SANIS accreditation of district labs. And then we haven't achieved the pre-analytical automation of provincial tertiary labs. So, Chair, that's a summary, which I'm not going to go through the details then of the millions of slides after this, because that gives you the details. And maybe then just to go to the issues that I'm going to go over this very quickly. Just in the overview, we're just giving you a breakdown of the HR environment and at the different hierarchies, the number of people that are employed. Overall, we've employed 7,615 employees. The total expenditure, as I said, is just over 7 billion in the NHLS. Personnel expenditure amounted to 3.3 billion, which is about 47% of the total expenditure. Our average personnel cost per employee, if you just do a very rough calculation, is about 436,000. This slide shows our focus on teaching and training. So we do send a lot of our own employees for technical and non-technical training. We also give about 100 scholarships to needy students across the country with another 122 bursaries. Just to give you an indication of our commitment, as you pointed out, Chair, to make sure that we do focus on the needy and the disadvantaged. Our staff turnover still remains at around 6%, and this is quite a good just benchmarking against other organizations. This turnover is not too challenging. Our vacancy rate stood around 8.1%. Chair, just to say, we've got a very careful post-filling plan. in line with the Treasury recommendations in order to ensure that we do contain costs and we make sure that critical posts are filled. And we remain the largest training provider for registrars, scientists, technologists and technicians and laboratory assistants of the country. Chair, if you, I'm going to skip through the steps, but you've got steps looking at our employment equity status for both male and female, as well as staff with disabilities. And I'm not going to go through those details, Chair, just for your information. So Chair, just looking at our financial performance, and again, I'm just going to run through it pretty quickly because I've mentioned most of it, and just to say that the CFO will add some of the details during the discussion. I've already stated that we've got 1.3 billion compared to a restated 1.9 billion deficit. Our revenue has grown. Our production costs, including direct labor and material, grew by 8% from 5.8 billion to 6.2 billion. And we've already mentioned that labor has constituted 42% of the total revenue as compared to 46% in the previous year. Our assets increased by 42%. Chair, this is because previously we had a zero value and we had to recalculate the assets, and in that recalculation went up to 42%. Another indication of the financial stability that we've created is that our closing bank balance at the end of the financial year was 1.1 billion as compared to 392 million in the previous financial year, which indicates a net cash inflow of 737 million for the NHLS. Our test volume increased by 1%, but our revenue increased by 12%. So that's the reason for that is because of the mix of tests. And if members are sort of interested, we've got the breakdown of the test as to because it depends on what test it is, which determines the increase in revenue. And I think I've mentioned this already, from the provincial department, we collected 6.4 billion compared to 5 billion in the previous year. Okay, Chair, I've already mentioned the amount that's spent on personnel costs, and the total revenue was 6.8% over budget, as I said, due to the demand in the diagnostic tests and increase in transfer revenue during the financial year. Again, Chair, I'm not going to go through the details. We've given you some of the NHS failure to do the information, and what we've done is we've compared it to 2016. 2017, we had to restate it following on the audit, and then what we've got in this year. So you can see that our total revenue, we've given the breakdown, 2016 was 6.9 billion and 8.2 billion in 2018. And we've given you an indication of that we went from a net surplus of 272 in 2016 to 1.3. But we've stated all of those figures. Chair, we've given you the details then on our cash position and our cash on hand, both from the grants and from the NHLS operations. And again, you can see the net increase gone from 87 million in 2016 to 727. We've broken it down for the cash on hand for NHLS operations and the cash on hand from the draft. I'm not going to go through the details here, Chair, just to give you an indication then of what we get from the teaching income from universities and what we get from the institutes. And again, we've given you details on our current ratio, which is pretty close to the benchmark of 2. So we've got 1.9 to 1, which is our current assets to our liability. Chair, then just to comment on the issue of the audit opinion. As I've indicated, we received a qualified audit report on 3 issues. So the first one is on commitments. The external auditor's comment is that they could not obtain sufficient audit evidence for the commitments disclosure. Just to explain that, Chair, the commitments for every contract that we have, there should be a system of the amount of the contract, and then as you buy off that, procure off that contract, the amount should be taken out, and then you'll be left with the amount that committed to that project. But previously there was no link between the contract and the commitment. System has now been put into place to ensure that those contracted amounts are linked to commitments. So corrective action has been taken with the contract management, the electronic contract management system that's going to take away the issue of the commitment amounts. The next audit finding was around irregular expenditure. And the auditors have commented that the NHS does not have an adequate system for identifying and recognizing all irregular expenditure. So they couldn't comment on the completeness of the irregular expenditure. Chair, again, to indicate that the irregular expenditure was in the previous financial year, 2016-2017, 1 billion. In the 2017-2018, it was halved to about 500 million. So the amount that's given is a combination of the previous financial year plus the current financial year. But there's been corrective action that has been put into place to reduce the irregular expenditure quite dramatically. Also, just to add that previously there were a number of areas that were seen as irregular expenditure. I'll show you that. I'll just comment a bit more on that with another slide, Chair. But there's been systems that we put into place. Part of the irregular expenditure relates to the tenders that were signed above the level of authority, that the board has taken corrective action against the suspended CEO and CFO. The third area of the audit opinion related to accruals. And again, the accruals is when services or product was bought and before the invoice is brought in, as soon as you get the invoice, you pay it. So the accrual is that period before you pay it. And the system was not reconciled, so the accruals were not cleared, and the auditors have found a qualified audit opinion on that. And again, we are taking collective action to just make sure that the accruals are reconciled on a monthly basis. So this was the third area for qualification. Just to note also that the external auditors did not find any unauthorized expenditure. They did not find any fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and the finding was just on irregular expenditure. And just to show you, as compared to the previous financial year, the irregular expenditure in the previous financial year, 2017, Chair, you can see it was a number of items. In 2018, it related to 3 main items. So the systems that have been put into place was to clear up a number of those irregular expenditure. And in 2018, the three areas was on what was called the quotations splitting. The amount of 5 million, I shouldn't say small, which is related to the buying of computers. What has happened here, one of the contracts that which related to the delegation beyond the level of authority was for the buying of computers. The NHLS desperately needed computers, so provinces were told to buy it on quotation. But unfortunately, when it was bought, the external auditors have indicated that that is seen as the splitting of the tenders, and that's an amount of 5.4 million. The other contracts related that exceeded delegation of authority, 122 million. I've already spoken about that, and that with regards to expired contracts, so it's the irregular expenditure. It's most of it related to contracts that expired, but where the NHLS was forced to use it on a month-to-month basis because it related to common issues like buying of reagents and equipment, the use of the equipment. So this is just to give you that breakdown of the irregular expenditure. Just to say that consequence management is seen as extremely important in audits, and the action that was taken in respect of the irregular expenditure is we've instituted disciplinary and criminal action against the senior officials, including attempts to recover money. And as the chair has indicated, the outcome will only be known at the completion of those disciplinary hearings. We've already mentioned that we've looked at new supply chain module on Oracle to regulate the contract. We've put in measures to make sure that the senior management teams have been put into place. Chair, when we meet again, we will also show you how we systematically are now taking all those expired contracts, we advertising them, and we're just trying to make sure that we regularize all of that. So there's a system in place where we do it, and the team sort of meets on a regular basis to just go through all of that. So Chair, I'll hand back to the Chair of the Board in order to look at the conclusions.
Chair, I think maybe two overarching messages that I want to bring out before I go to the official conclusion. And the first one is around the performance targets. And as a board, we've had deliberations because I think, as you know, you can set up performance targets to play a game. You can set up very low performance targets so that they're so easy to achieve, and we can come here and we can say to you, look, we've achieved 100% of our performance targets because we set them so low. So what we've tried to do as a board is to set challenging performance targets, because our aim is not to con the portfolio committee or the public by setting very low standards that are just simple to achieve. What we're really trying to do is to set performance standards that say, how can we serve our people better in every way possible and make them challenging? So I just wanted to raise that. The second is around this question of the irregular expenditure, and I think that the acting CEO showed you how there were so many categories. So this is part of a legacy of what was happening in the organization through from the CEO, the CFO, internal audit, and others operating together in the organization. And as you know, we picked the problem up last February and suspended them and laid the charges. But of course, the financial year starts, at the beginning of March. So the problem is that you know, you can't get everything fixed in the first month after you've suspended people. In order to, you know, I should say the year ends in March, so you start dealing with things in April and May, and as you're working at it, you uncover more problems that you have to fix. So what I think is that the irregularities cover the whole year. So if you fix something by July, because you found it, you fixed it, you've still got the April, May, June amounts that come in as irregular. So what I want to emphasize is that a lot of, as you can see, we've got the historic one from the year before, for which we've laid the criminal charges, reported to the chief procurement officer, we've reported to yourselves. We brought that down dramatically by about 60%, and some of that, or a lot of that, is just that it takes you a few months to get in and sort those things out. But I think what's important is you saw that the more critical categories are not there. So I think what you can see is that we've improved substantially both in our service delivery and our financial performance. I think that, you know, when we come here before, you're saying, is the NHLS going concern? Is it going to be able to deliver? Well, I think we've shown you that we've stabilized the organization and, you know, in terms of the core business of what we have to deliver, that is going well. We're continuing to try and improve efficiency and performance in the interest of achieving the best value for money for the public money that is entrusted to us. In terms of the audit findings, you know, we continue as a board through our audit and risk committee, through the finance committee, and through the board as a whole and the governance committee. We take these findings quite seriously and carefully, and we track them. And in fact, we've already, in this financial year, the current one, are dealing with a number of these issues and going forward. And we've made sure as a board that our internal controls have been really tightened up a lot as well. You'll remember that one of the honourable members asked us about that the last time. He's not here today, but he asked that question, and we have done that. We're working at accelerated implementation of a number of projects. So, for example, the acting CEO referred to the IT projects, where we started them in the last financial year, and we're accelerating to deliver that. You know, the modern laboratory service, you don't deliver the laboratory report on paper with a messenger to the ward. It's an electronic system. And, you know, so we were using a very old version of the laboratory system that we use called TrackCare. We've now moved to a much more modern version, which gives you better information quicker. But in order to do that, you have to have the information technology infrastructure to be able to use the system and deliver it. So that's just one example of many. We're working quite hard on cost containment. I think we've reported to you before, Madam Chair, that for years now, the NHLS annual tariff increase has been below the general inflation rate. And remember that the health inflation rate is higher than the general inflation rate. So we've continued to deliver at below inflation rate increases, and a lot of that is tied to improving operational efficiency and effectiveness. So I think the board has been working hard to fulfill its governance, oversight, and strategy responsibilities that we're entrusted with. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. Members, there is the presentation. Any questions?
Thank you
Thank you very much, Chair. And also thank you for the presentation. Chair, I'm trying to think on how to raise some of the questions. Because some of the things Dr. Chetty was explaining, that they're trying to put corrective measures and so on and so on. And but Chair, I'm worried about many issues. One, with regard to the audit, the Auditor General's report, I have seen shared in this report that they've explained that they're trying to deal with corrective measures. But you know, where my worry is shared is that there is this report also of the FFC. I'm not sure whether we have seen it. Everything? Okay. Maybe you must get the copy. With regards to accruals and irregular expenditures, Dr. Chetty, with the 7 million that you said there was no evidence that you were able to give the Auditor General in terms of what they need. What have you done after you have received the audit report? So that at least after their findings, you are able to deal with this matter, because I'm sure you know it can be an issue that will be there forever. Because for as long as it's like this, it will remain and it needs to be addressed. I had and see in your report that there are similar managers, like the CEO and the CFO, that have been on suspension. But what we want to know is the portfolio committee. Are you still paying them? Because even the chairperson now was saying, the chairperson of the board was saying, when we are still busy with their hearings and so on and so on, but we are discovering other things. So where I'm sitting, I'm asking myself, why should, if we are still paying them their salaries in full, why should you pay them in full when you've got cases against them? And then, it's just unfortunate that we are not clear that except the CFO and the CEO, are there other officials, maybe in the management or junior officials, that are on suspension when we are dealing with a disciplinary hearing? And if you do have an internal disciplinary hearing, when are you intending to finalize all those cases? Because you can't have cases that are in process from last year up until now, especially internal cases. We understand with those that you have taken to court that, you know, those can delay. But I'm sure in terms of you fast-tracking the process, you need to give us a progress report on how far is this case, you know? Rather than us getting a report that some of the cases, you know, it's general. And then the portfolio committee will need to get a full report in these cases. Whether it's the CFO or it's what, but at least you need to elaborate and give us the exact thing so that you can can know what are we dealing with and what are we expecting, rather than being general. I think with regards to the promises, we are saying, you correct me if I heard you right or wrong. I think you were saying you have solid issues with cases and consulting. Are you saying that? Because in terms of the FSC report, they are saying provinces still fail to honor their laboratory services payment, according to their report. And they are saying this poses a risk, since 90% of your revenue is coming from them. And in terms of NHLS being operational and efficient, you depend on this, payment. So maybe that's why I'm saying, have you ever seen this report of FSC? So that maybe at least you can be able to comment, whether they are wrong or right. We don't know. Because now they have presented their own report to us, and here you are presenting your own report. So who is who? Who's right, who's wrong? Which report must be considered as a true reflection? We are not sure now. It's just unfortunate that Dr. Chase, you came in last year, I'm sure, late last year. So, some of the things I can't ask you immensely. I'm telling you. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alamudala. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, my question is relating to program 2. It's clear that the entity is failing to attract and keep the epidemiologist in provinces. According to the annual report that is on page 33, your target was about 88%, but you only reached 11%. Now my question is, has the entity checked the reasons for the resignation of epidemiologists? And if so, what are the interventions to correct the situation? Because the same last year, the same program, it has also shown a sign of underspending. Now, what are the plans to spend the allocated fund as you plan? That is my other question. My other question, Chair, is with regard to Program 4. According to Program 4, one of the achievements according to presentation, you said that academic excellence and training and research, this is what you achieve. But that is what you said according to page 17, is one of your achievements. But Chair, this program does not show the budget allocation, which made it a little bit difficult for us to ascertain whether it is overspend or underspend. If maybe they can explain why there is no allocation for this program, and maybe what is the ideal budget for this program, and maybe the reason why it is not well stated here. My other question, Chair, is in relation to Program 5, that is the laboratory service. According to their presentation, it is said that the district laboratories that are standard accredited, their target was 5%, but they actually managed to get 3%. The reason for not achieving their target, they say that the number and availability of auditors were also a challenge. And now they say that the strategy is to train more and to include the pool of auditors. Can you please indicate the time frame, when are you planning to do so? Because it is a challenge. The other one is the same program, Five Chair. They say that the provincial tertiary laboratories with the pre-analytic automation, they were supposed to, their target was 40%. They managed to get 17.6%. So which means the target was not achieved. But their reason was to say that it was a delay in terms of awarding the tender. If maybe you can clarify that, why there was a delay with those tenders. My other question, Chair, when I was looking in terms of the presentation, yeah, that is page 57, equity target and employment, equity status, staff living with disability. I was looking at the top management, Chair, the senior management, I don't see anything there. Are we not attracting the disabled people? Or have we ever tried? What is the challenge? If maybe you can explain that to us. Thank you, Shane.
Thank you. I will myself.
Thank you, Chair. The medical technologies pass rate is only 53%. The last time we asked the question, there was no adequate answer to it, and we asked for an improvement to be shown. And you say it has improved, but it's only 53%. What are the barriers that lead to this? Are you maybe getting people who can't pass and they are just there to help to be promoted instead of on their own merit? Well, we have to get to the bottom of this so that we can improve for the future, not just make do with what we have. Otherwise, we are not building for the future. Right. On page 25, you say things are almost achieved. That doesn't say much if you say something is almost achieved. It's either achieved or not achieved, but saying almost, it can be 91%, 99%, or what? Let's get to know what it means to say almost achieved. Accruals. I think we all know that we are allergic to accruals, very much so. And if we don't get antihistamine, we may be in casualty or in ICU very soon. So we need to get some help here. Because you say you've got how many billions? 1.3 billion as a surplus, but you have accruals on the outside. That makes sense. So unless you want us to get into ICU, better help us with this surplus, okay? So let's get an answer why we have a surplus when we have accruals. Yeah, there is somewhere where you said there was irregular expenditure. The fact that you know it's irregular, why do it? And come and say, nobody forces you to spend irregularly. Unless you only found out it was irregular after it was spent irregularly. Just explain why there was irregular expenditure. Yeah, there must be a reason. And there are more missed targets on your report than achieved targets. There are explanations, but when you have one too many explanations, it becomes problematic. So let's get to know why there are more missed targets than achieved targets. Yeah, why are epidemiologists resigning? It looks like there is an exodus. Is it because they are running away from epidemics or what? three laboratories closing down, you don't say why, you just say three laboratories closed down. We would like to know, I mean, it is our business to know why you're closing laboratories, why you're opening laboratories, why others are functioning, why others are not functioning. Just saying they are closed is, suppose you are informed, just for the sake of information, it matters to us to know why. With the fast development of automation in diagnostic processes, why are we still having a 47% total staff what do you call it, remuneration or compensation, instead of just going for automation and trying to reduce the staff compensation? But it's almost 47%. But mostly there is automation these days, not like before. So maybe it will do well if you go for automation more instead of just getting a lot of stuff. Yeah, okay, this one I was going to ask, but I found out why. And because I was wondering, because there was no show top white on the top five or the top one. And then I found out it was only on the female side where there is one. I was wondering whether there is discrimination in reverse here or not. We can't tolerate that. But then I found out, you know, they are not five, they are six, and they are balancing out. Okay, thank you.
Sorry, Chair. I want to call it my amount. It's not 7 million, it's 77 million. It's here on page 187 in your annual report.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to check some of the questions that have been asked, and I may have missed this. On the page 56 of the slides of the presentation, that's all going to start and ask other questions. In the senior management, in the equity target and employment equity status of females, Your current is 9. You targeted for 10. Current is 16. And your target was 20. Can I ask a question? Why did you target low on African Phoenix? Page 56. I'm just interested. It will strike me on top management, page 56, senior management 9, current, we targeted 10, and if you go to white, current is 16, and you targeted for 20. Now the question is, you targeted 20 white females, and you targeted 10 black African females. Page 56. Why that almost 50%? I'm really quite interested. Semi skilled. To me, it's quite striking, and I need to be empowered by you. Semi skilled, targeted 1,000, current is 1,480, targeted 1,406. White, you targeted 71. Current is 71. Target is 75. Why is that? I don't want to assume and respond on that. Same as like unskilled. Current is 441. Targeted 107. In Indians and whites, nearly. I'm quite interested to explain. commitment not to have assumptions. That you are moving into the IT system in terms of the results from what is the situation in the deep work? How do they get the results with the challenge of broadband? How do they get there? Are they, and please make us to be open to us saying, I would have appreciated if it said in the urban areas we have improved by this percent because of IT in the urban areas, in rural areas we are having these challenges, because so that we must not leave here with an impression that you are improving, whether there is still a serious challenge in the rural areas. I may have missed it maybe in the copy. I don't get the percentage of the compensation of employees. What is, do you call it COE? What is the total percentage now that you are how much in the revenue that you are having? How much are you paying to compensation of employees? Which, and also to board members, so that we have an understanding. I'm seated here, I don't know whether members were here at the time, when the suspended CEO gave us a report. To be honest, it was very naive, and we thought that she's really going to turn the situation around. I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I'm trying to say we'll always have that caution. That is it, because personally, as the chair, although I was the one that was vocally commending, and I was taken aback. What is then the situation now? Are you confident that you have got personnel in the National Health Laboratory Services that is then going to, in us moving forward, that we are then going to be confident to change? The last one is this. Are all these improvements, but the thought is not coming up, remember that we passed a bill on how then to salvage the National Health Laboratory Services in terms of what is then to be by the National Treasury, so that you focus on your core business, which is testing. Has that, are these improvements as a result of that? I was going to have I've got a different approach from what I agree, Honorable Ndaba, maybe she correct you are to get that report of the FFC, so that you are able, although on our side I think it's my responsibility as the chair to also check with them. But you must also, because it is not giving a good picture. I'm not going to say she asked who are we to believe, because the picture they are giving us is just a complete opposite on what you have reported in terms of how you are owed, what you are owed, and the how KZN and how did. We will be excited within that aspect, but we got a report that gives us the opposite. So I do think that to be fair enough is to really give you that report, because it's not a confidential report, so that you are able
even on ourselves, from ourselves, we then remember that they are an independent entity. But in an environment where we are getting a conflicting, we are getting conflicting reports, I think it's fair enough, and it's our responsibility to try and hear the day. I think that is the last question from my side. What will you do? Okay.
Thank you, Chair. In fact, Chair, I wanted to add on the question of transformation. What you were raising with the former CEO, when we had confidence and trust that truly she's going to transform NHLS in with regards to the high rates of students who are failing, that's one. The board, the exam board, if you remember, there was a question of the exam board which was not transformed, and which was continuously letting black students to fail their exams, because we're told that they will write theory and they will do practical, and then but they will fail, like, I don't know whether it was practical that they were failing or whatsoever. So there was a concern. So we must also check with you on how far are you with the transformation process of the NHLS. But also, Chair, you know, looking at the steps of the targets, when you were reading to them, you know, when I'm looking at the semi-skilled and the unskilled, it's under Africans. You know, for me, as an African person, you know, I feel like this is undermining us, as if Africans are the ones who are unskilled. You know, or one way or the other, when the truth is we have our black students who are made to fail in this field most of the time. So for me, I think the issue of the transformation is relevant here. We need to get a report, which is, how far are you with the transformation with this regard? And I think these targets, really, they need to be reviewed. Thank you, Chairperson.
What we will do, we'll just give you five minutes to just, who's going to respond on that?
And Chair, we are ready to respond if you are ready.
Give us 5 minutes, please, for a contact break.